I'm here with Bernice Endy, who has been on the road for a while. Bernice, can you tell me a bit about the book that you've been writing?
Well, I just finished the book called Lady Long Rider. It was published last July. It came out by Far Country Press, and it covers the past, well, not all the 14 years that I've been traveling, but almost all of the 14 years that I've been crisscrossing the United States via horseback.
And you probably talk a bit about this in your book, but how did you come to decide on a trip around the country with your horses?
Well, it was, I call it a window of opportunity. I think, I've hit a period in my life where changes had to be faced, and I'd been teaching classical ballet for almost 30 years, and it was time to do something else, and I was not happy as far as relationships go, and just I'd been alone for a long time, but ridden horses all my life and have had a fair amount of experience there. But I don't know. It was one of those, I think I'm going to go ride my horse down to Albuquerque from Montana to see my sister. And the idea sat down on my couch and caught hold of my throat and was not willing to relinquish the idea. So I told somebody I was going to do it, and there it was. I was caught into it and rode into a nightmare. But by the time I finished that ride, I had been so profoundly changed and knew that I could not go back to anything I had once known, and I had no expectations of riding now over 30,000 miles, but crossing, I've ridden border to border, ocean to ocean, with my horses, and now this is my life, and this is what I do.
Planning any kind of trip, even if it's just by yourself in a car and planning on camping, can be quite challenging at times. When you add in bringing two horses with you, that becomes quite a logistic challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And those first few years that I rode, I did single horse rides. Those were the first 7,000 miles, the first 3 years. And I did a great deal of research on my routes, and I also had a dog with me. But today, I don't. I do very little research. I have my maps, my gazetteers, the state by state gazetteers, and I just simply say I'm going to go over there. I'm going to ride over there, whether it's to the East Coast or down to Arizona, wherever I'm going to ride, and then I set out. But And inform my route as I go. But you look at your path. You cast out your idea where you're going to go, and then I've got to decide where I'm going to cross my mountains, where I'm going to cross my rivers, where I'm going to cross the freeways. Where's there water? Where's the grass? Is there other people out there? Which way is the wind conditions? Where am I going to meet my weather conditions? All of that will be formatted into my ride. But I no longer, have every single step formatted out as I once did. I don't need to do that anymore.
Do you use any apps or other?
No, I have no. I carry no cell phone or GPS or anything. Never have.
So old school. And when you're planning these routes, how do you verify whether bridges you're going to be approaching are going to be friendly for your horses?
They don't always, are they? Not, they aren't always. Many times I get there and I go, the bridge has been closed, or it's a bridge I cannot cross. They won't let me cross. Like when I did the 8,000-mile ride across the United States, there were seven bridges I had to haul. These were very, very long bridges. The Mackinac Bridge, the Bismarck Bridge, the Okanagan Bridge, the Sault Ste. Marie Bridge. Those are all very long bridges. And as I near these bridges, I'm starting to put my feelers out. Can somebody haul me? Who will haul me? Can you haul me? And somebody hauls me. And I stop. I knock on a door, and and eventually somebody picks it up. And, you know, now it's not so hard. I mean, I've been riding this many years. You know, most places that I go, somebody's heard of me, and I do have a fair amount of experience. So, you know, it's not very difficult to find a ride anymore. But before, it was. There were times where I was sitting on the side of the road with my horse with my thumb out waiting to catch a ride. That the bridges are one thing, but cattle guards. The cattle guard gates, you know, you've got the auto gates, you go blah, 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 across them. And on the sides, there are should be gates that you can take a horse or cattle through. But on your freeways, there's no gate. And there you are. You either have to take that fence apart and go through, put it back together, and continue on your way, or you have to wait. And I have waited. And I've made all kinds of different ways of crossing those something like that.
Do you find that sometimes the back roads are easier than the freeways?
Oh, that's all I take for the most part. When I cross a freeway, I'm crossing them out in the middle of nowhere where there's very little traffic. It's maybe a dirt road that's coming up over across a freeway. Yeah. Although I have ridden freeways. I mean, there's places where I could not get through anywhere. New Mexico was one of these places where I could not get through a mountain pass. Either it was too early, there was a lot of snow in the mountains, I couldn't access it, or it was so far around that I said, listen, I'm going down the middle of this freeway to get through this space. And you do. I mean, my horses are as good as any police horse. They'll go anywhere. They can do just about anything. You know, I can ride down a road with a semi going by me at 80 miles an hour, and close enough they can touch me. And I can reach out and touch it. And my horses will stand for that. They've got to be that good. They have to be that good.
When you're riding in different seasons, obviously there are particular challenges. So in winter, that changes your plan a bit, doesn't it?
Sure does. Yeah, and when you're, you know, like down here, though, I would want to ride in the winter. I want to, and I, you know, in 05, I was on a 5,000-mile ride across New Mexico here and hit snowstorm after snowstorm after snowstorm, snowstorm, and I was heading west into it all and slept in snow. I slept in a lot of snow, and I did not have a tent. All I had was a tarp over my head. Yeah, I know those were hard years. It's not like that anymore. I've made my own tent and my own setup, my own camp setup, and it's very, very nice and very functional. But yeah. But you do ride, and I always ride out in snow, and I usually always ride in to snow because those are the periods of times that are those late fall and that early spring. That's the best riding time because there's no bugs and it's cool for your horses. It's cold for me, but that's when you make your best time. That's when you can put a lot of time in.
And in terms of support, have you worked out a network or connections with different friends across the country who can help you with things like grass or hay?
No, you know, It of course, this has evolved over this many years. Yeah, I mean, there's thousands of people that follow the ride everywhere, you know, you run into this. But no, you know, I don't like try to have pre-set up times and places that I'm going to stop in. I don't do that. Where I end up, and if I have to knock on a door, anybody's got a horse in their yard or cattle, that's a feed store to me. You know, you've got to knock on, you've got to humbly step down off your high horse, you know, and looking rather ragged, ask for water and food and shelter. It's just what you do. I don't like saying, okay, I'm going to be there, and, you know, something happens. You know, it's like maybe I need to slow down a little bit. Maybe the horses are tired. I need to slow down. Or, you know, maybe weather has made me do this or that. And I have no phone. I don't call ahead and say, oh, I'm going to be late. You know, well, I don't make it in another day or two or three more days. Well, you know, I don't like to do that. Where I go, I'll end up there and I'll be okay and I'll make it there. There's always a way to make it work.
How much of the time, Bernice, are you on the road with a horse or horses unsupported? And how often do you actually load them onto a horse trailer and take them to a location?
I have never had a horse trailer and a truck. Never. And this year, I'm only using a truck and a trailer for this book tour because I have to meet these deadlines in places. But I've never had a truck or trailer. I've never trailered, you know, I've never done that. But when I'm out riding, yes, you know, if I got to cross a bridge or something and somebody will help me across, or maybe there's a stretch of land that's like, you know, I can't do that. It's just way, way too dangerous. I'll have somebody haul me or you know, something like that. I'll catch a ride. But for the most part, for the past 13 years, I've been living in a tent with my horses all year long and traveling.
You probably relate a great deal to the people traveling on horseback 200 years ago or 100 years ago.
No. No. No, no. My God, it's so much easier for me. Oh, for crying out loud. You know, I've got a little propane heater. I got a little propane stove. You know, I've got a nylon tent. I've got a down sleeping bag. You know, I can knock on doors everywhere I go just about. You know, it's no, no. And I don't, you know, I don't ride with that kind of really, you know, I don't see myself. I'm no cowgirl. I'm certainly no cowgirl. I really enjoy meeting people, sharing stories, and hearing their stories. And I do ride to encourage female leadership now. I didn't start out that way, of course, but, you know, it was never an idea that, you know, had formed in my head when I first started riding. I had no idea I'd ride this long. But now I do ride to encourage female leadership. And you know what? That very statement you just had, have asked me. I've been asked many times. I bet you wish you lived 100 years ago. And I think, are you kidding me? You know, 100 years, I couldn't even ride my horse. I couldn't even ride as a woman, a single woman riding across the country. I'd have to have a skirt on or you know, I couldn't have even owned my horse. I couldn't have, you know, it just wouldn't have even been an option for me to travel as I am today 100 years ago. No, no.
Well, it certainly can give you appreciation for the hardships that people did face.
Yeah, but still, you know, it must have been so much harder. It had to have been so much harder. I don't have, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, how hard it must have been on those horses. And, I mean, you know, my horses are, like, treated like queens. They, you know, they get the best. They are cared for. You know, I don't have sores on them. They didn't have that luxury. Didn't have that luxury years ago. It must have been so much harder.
No, if you got sick or your animals got sick, there was little recourse.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
In terms of documenting your journey and writing this book, had you thought early on of the possibility of journaling and keeping a record of your trips, or what did this come to you?
No, everything was documented right from the very beginning. I started out all of my routes, everywhere I camped, the people I met, the weather, stories, all of that has been documented, all of my rides. I've been journaling, you know, since I was, you know, quite young. As a young girl, I journaled, but I documented it. I recorded it. I don't know why. I never thought I was going to write a book. I mean, I never thought I was going to ride this long, but I did journal every day.
Are there any resources out there, or have you considered writing any resources that people could refer to help make a trip like this easier for them?
Yes, there is the International Long Riders Guild, and the founders of that organization have now got it's the Encyclopedia of Long Riding, and it is a very thorough, comprehensive 2-volume book on how to do a long ride. A long ride is 1,000 miles as defined by the International Long Riders Guild. And I get, you know, every year I get, you know, half a dozen, maybe more queries of how to do a long ride or some such thing. And maybe not a long ride. You know, they're going to start out with something shorter, but that can all be found on my website or just simply go to the Long Riders Guild. It has everything. That book just came out. I didn't have anything like that.
Bernice, what are some things that you think people should be aware of if they're going to be in the saddle for as long as you've been?
Nobody's going to be in the saddle as long as I've been. There's nobody who's going to ride. I mean, there's just not. I mean, who's going to give up their life and do this for 14, 15 years? It's but to go out and do 1,000 miles, heck, that's only 3 months. You know, that's nothing. And you know, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. It's very dangerous, though. It is very, very dangerous. And for the most part, all long riders are doing their rides with either a one person or maybe a support vehicle or maybe drop-offs or help like that. And that, you know, that reduces the risk and, you know, the need for skill. That just reduces it. I mean, to have two people out there is like, oh my God, that's just so much easier. It's so much easier at night, you know, when you're by yourself every night. That's not so easy. But, you know, I cannot overemphasize the need to have just enormous equine skill as far as veterinarian skill and hoof care skills and packing skills and how to take care of those horses' backs and the need to, you know, not be sitting in that saddle all day long, but to walk or I say your horse is ready to go on a long ride when a semi goes by it at 80 miles an hour and it's close enough you can touch it and it will stand for that, then your horse is ready. But it's really dangerous.
It takes a special animal, special training.
It certainly does. I keep saying, but the horse will only be as good as you are.
Let's talk a bit about your horses.
How did you
come across the horses that you have been traveling with? How did you come to have them in your life? And Ed, have you thought about what their long-term mission is in your life?
Oh yeah, of course. Because I live with my horses like most people live with their dogs. I live with them. I mean, I live with them. They sleep next to me, and you know, I eat, they eat. I feel the sun on my back, they feel the sun on the back. They got bugs on their face, I've got bugs on my face. I live with these animals, and the relationship is intimate and unusual and unique. And now today, though, I'm riding Fjords, the Norwegian Fjord horse. This is the horse of Norway, and it's the only breed I will take out. I've had other horses, other breeds, in the past. I've taken out a Tennessee Walking Horse and a Quarter Horse and a Thoroughbred, and none of them, in my opinion, are suited for what I'm doing, which is I'm doing this for a long time. I'm not just going out for one ride. I want my horses to live with me for the rest of my life, you know. You know, I want them to travel with me as long as they can. I want them to be healthy and strong as long as they can. And the relationship with them has to be, you know, are really based on trust, which is why I sleep with them at night. I stay with them, and I don't go inside. It has to have that. If they need something, they nicker. If they want anything, they nicker. You know, we talk to each other all the time, or you know, just this enormous trust that comes from being with them all the time, you know, understanding what they feel like or what it's like for them out there or you know, trusting them to carry you through a, you know, a really desolate, you know, part of the country or through this enormous traffic, you know, either way, you know, just having this unit of trust that comes from being with them so much.
In your travels, have there ever been times when you were lost for a while or weren't sure where you're going to get food for your horses or water?
Of course. Yeah, many times. Been lost. What adventure would be complete if you weren't lost? Yeah, no, I've been lost a number of times. But, you know, you've got horses, you've got packs, you know, you've got food, you know, you just keep your cool, you know, follow your directions, follow directions of the sun, follow the directions of your creeks, your rivers, that kind of thing. You're bound to come to something, to somebody. You're not going to ride in circles with a horse. You know, it won't happen. They won't let you do that. If you trust them, they won't let you. They'll take you somewhere. But, and, you know, as far as food and water, yeah, I mean, there's been nights when, you know, I didn't have any food, they didn't have any food, and we stand there and we just wait the night out, and early morning, we get up and we move, we go find food, we go find water, you know, it's okay. You know, it's okay if we don't have water and food for one night. You know, it's all right.
Have you ever had an occasion where a big storm was approaching and you had to, you know, find someone who would be willing to give you and your horses shelter for the night?
Oh, my God. That happens. That happens. I cannot tell you how many times I have galloped into somebody's yard asking for, you know, just roll right into their sheds, just gallop right into their sheds and just stood there, you know, while it just pounded hail down or pounded rain down or the wind just came up. Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah. And I sometimes think it's, you know, somewhat of an advantage to be a single woman out there. You know, I of course walk up and profusely apologize for my mistake of getting caught in a storm. But yeah, it is an issue, is weather. Is your number one issue is weather. That's it.
Oh, yes.
Weather and traffic.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's very dangerous to be on the two-lane highways on sometimes there isn't a shoulder at all. Sometimes you have to ride in the grass right beside a two-lane highway because there is no other way to ride.
You bet.
What would you recommend to anyone even contemplating a day ride in traffic?
Oh, gosh. Have your horse better be. I would say don't do it if that's all they're doing. A day ride in traffic. I don't know. Your horse has to be. I mean, I've taken. You know, it takes a long time to train my. You know, before I go out on a ride, you know, my horses have been exposed to everything I could possibly expose them to. I have found out by the time I step out onto a road, I have found out what that horse is going to do, whether it's a semi or a four-wheeler or you know, kids riding on bicycles or, you know, dogs, packs of dogs. You know, I know. What's going to happen? You know what's going to happen. Have that and anticipatory skill. You know what your horse is going to do.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you had traveled with a dog as well. Was that part of your security plan as well?
No, heavens, no. No, it was just simply my dog started. She was with me. She was 6 years old when she started. She traveled 21,000 miles with me. The only ride she did not ride with me was the 8,000-mile ride. And she was 16 when she died. And no, she traveled. And if you see on the website, she rode. I bought my second horse for her so she would have a horse to ride. And it just it elevated this picture of a horse and rider into a dog and pony act. You know, here's this dog riding a horse, and she had a box, and she waved, and she was, you know, she loved people. It just changed the ride completely. Have a dog. Nobody's interested in talking to me. All they wanted to go talk to the dog.
Well, that certainly clarifies my vision of a dog and pony show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I rode into town one time, and there was an old man sitting in a rocking chair. It was a little tiny town in the Midwest, and I rode into town late afternoon, and he goes, "Well, goddamn," he said, "that beats any parade I've ever seen."
So how much longer do you think you may be riding after the book tour ends? Are you thinking of a place to settle?
Oh, no, but I have a home. I have a home up in the northwest corner of Montana. I've got a little log cabin and some land up there. But no, I hope I've got a few more years to ride it. I realize that I'm 65 this year, and it's like, you know, I don't know. We'll see how many more years. I'm just now getting good at it.
Well, there you go. Is there anything else, Bernice, that you might like to share with the listeners? Could you? I assume your book is on Amazon.
It is, or on my website, or any of the bookstores are carrying it now.
And that's endofthetrail.com.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. www. Mm-hmm. What do I want to say? You know, I guess I have to say thank you to all the people that helped me, because these rides would not be possible without people helping me. I mean, I'm a testimony to the goodness in our country, and it really does hurt sometimes to see the division in our country at this time. But I wish people, I wish I could take everybody with me and show them what I see and the people that I meet and the country that I see, because it would change them. They would realize that the truth does not lie on television, that the truth lies, you know, between us and in our relationships and how we treat one another and how we share our stories and our lives.
I've been speaking with Bernice Endy, whose book, Lady Long Rider, is available on Amazon. Thank you so much, Bernice, for spending a few minutes.
Thank you.